Today's podcast is supported by David Smith of Edward Jones. Are you happy with your financial strategy? Or maybe you'd like to see what other opportunities are out there? Well, give David a call at 469-372-1587. That's 469-372-1587. David is only concerned about one person, that's you and your financial health. So check him out, David Smith, Edward Jones, 469-372-1587. Hey everybody, it's the Trout. Hope you're having a great day. I've interviewed dozens of musicians across the globe, and there's one single thread that goes through all of them, and it is they all started at a very early age in their musical journey. Some of them as early as 4 years old. I personally started at 12 when I picked up my first guitar. But then they spent years trying to develop their craft until it got better and better. But there's always an exception to that rule. There's always that one person that says, I come out slinging my guitar ready to rock and play the blues. And that is our guest today, 14-year-old blues player Danny Guitarwood. What a phenomenal player he is. At 14, he's already set the stage for his career amongst his peers of other great blues guitarists. Listen to this. That happened to be off his new EP that Danny just released called Looking Out My Window. So you're probably asking, how does a 14-year-old get discovered? Well, you go to the Dallas Guitar Show last year, and another great guitarist and singer, Allie Venerable, asked you to come up to play on stage. And that 5 minutes gave him the opportunity to show his craft. And that has been viewed on Instagram. That video has been viewed on Instagram over 5 million times. And that's how I discovered Danny. But what's great about Danny is he's keeping the blues alive. At 14, he's already decided that's his career path. And I applaud him for it. I was privileged to sit down with Danny, and he talks about his style, how he started playing, and his favorite artists, and all the people that impress him, and how he wants to continue to play the blues. So that's up next, Danny Guitarwood and his story about keeping the blues alive. So, coming up next, a 14-year-old that's keeping the blues alive for generations to come, Danny Guitarwood, that's next on The Trout Show. When did you decide that you wanted to play guitar?
I was 8 or 9 years old, and my dad, he had this little travel guitar. I was like, oh, cool. I was really into like rock music at the time. I'm like, oh, cool. I'll try this out. And I kind of, you know, sparked an interest. He's like, do you want to start taking lessons? I was like, yeah. And, you know, it sucked at first. I didn't have fun with it. And then once I kind of got the hang of it, I'm like, this is awesome. So I want to make a career out of it now.
And when did, what was the first, do you remember the first song you heard that was a blues song? You went, holy crap, I need, what is that? What was performer?
John Lee Hooker.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you remember the tune?
Boom, boom. I watched the Blues Brothers. I'm like, oh, this is cool. That one scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, John left us a few years ago. He was what we call, he was a classic blues guitar player. You know, he didn't do a lot, but he just had that blues thing going on. And his music had a lot of space in it. Do you know what that means? Has a lot of space?
How so?
So if you listen to his music, let's say Boom Boom, or he did a song with Bonnie Raitt. There's not a lot of things going on. There's just basic stuff, and the space means there's nothing going on, music going on. But he could pull it off because he was such a great performer, and he didn't have to have a lot of rhythm guitars, all that stuff. He was just a fantastic musician, and he was from the old time blues guys that we don't have anymore. There's basically Buddy Guy. He's about the last one left of that age group. Buddy's 83 or something like that, you know? And so you said to yourself, I want to start playing blues. What was the first guitar that you got that you could actually play the guitar and plug it into your amp?
It's actually, you probably can't see it, but it's right there on the wall. It's a black and white Squire mini Stratocaster.
Okay, so it's a Strat-like guitar. It's a Squire. Okay, and what little amp did you have? Amps did you play?
Yeah, I had like a Fender practice amp. It was so small. And then right here, it's actually right here, I had this little Marshall as well.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah. Yep, little Marshall amps. But that's okay, because then you can do all you want to, put your headphones on and rip out, and nobody hears it besides you, right?
Yeah.
So you started out at a young age. You're still young. When did you realize, and I know this is going to be kind of hard for you maybe to understand, but when did you realize that you have that ability that a lot of people don't have?
I guess it was when I went to my first open jam.
Okay.
And I really kind of got to know what the blues was and how it's in the soul, basically. And I learned a lot from open jams. I learned basically pentatonic scales and solos and stuff and how to play with other people. And I don't know, it was really fun, and I'm still doing it now. And I just love the blues.
You know, it's funny because, Danny, you have already hit a era that some people just dream of getting to play with certain people. I made some notes about you because I went back and looked at them. I saw you were just playing with Marty Schwartz.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy. It was awesome.
I'm sure you've watched his channel and probably said, I need to learn how to play something. Let Marty show me how to play.
Yeah.
Right?
First thing that comes up is Marty Schwartz.
Marty's one of those guys that everybody, if you talk to people that start out, when I was your age, we didn't have YouTube. We had books. And you mentioned it early, when you started learning how to play guitar, it wasn't much fun. It isn't fun at all. So I was told that, you know, your dad says to me, how did you find Danny? And I said, I'm always on the lookout. What I do, Danny, is I interview musicians all over the world. You may have looked at my channel already. And I just getting ready to go up tomorrow. You probably want to see it, Mr. Walter Trout. Do you know who Walter Trout is?
Uh-huh.
I just interviewed him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. So cool.
That is, he's a great performer, as you well know, and just an all-around good guy. So when I saw you, the one thing that I know, and it's hard for people that your age to recognize, is the fact that you have what we call it. Do you know what it is?
Like the blues?
You have the ability, and when you have it, and as you go through playing with friends and you see people play, you'll recognize it. That means you've been given a gift that not everybody gets. You play blues guitars like you're 40 years old. You do. You have a gift, but the thing that I showed your video to my wife. And I said, you got to watch this kid. And I said, he's phenomenal. But the thing that makes you so great, Danny, is the fact that I said, watch him not even look at the guitar. He's playing without even looking at the fretboard. That usually doesn't happen until you've played for a long time. I mean, because you already kind of know where everything is. But the other part about you've got lucky that, so you've been already kind of just discovered, and you've had an opportunity to play with some great players already, like Allie. And that's how your dad thought I'd seen you or heard about you when you were at the Dallas, because I live in Dallas. I live in the Dallas area.
Yeah. Okay?
You were playing, you had, or tell me about that, because you came down to the guitar show, right? Okay. And that was last summer, right? When you came down?
So May 2022. Yeah.
That's right. It's May. How did you convince Allie to let you play on stage?
So it wasn't really technically, I would say, convinced. So we met her there. I saw her play the set the night before, and I got to meet her. I was like, hey, I play guitar as well. I saw her open for Kenny Wayne Shepherd. I'm like, you're phenomenal. She's like, thank you. So took pictures. And then the next day I saw her at the trade show with all the guitars, and I'm like, you know, said hi, gave her a business card. And then
I love it. You already have business cards. How cool is
yeah.
that?
Yeah. And then later that day, we get a Facebook message from her dad. Do you want to come up on stage and play? I was like, holy crap. So middle of her set, she invites me up on stage to play. We did Going Down by Freddie King.
I saw that.
And it was awesome. And then later that gave me the opportunity to open for her as well in Houston.
So here, I'm just laughing because, you know, you're already down this road so far that it's just funny to me, because it's like, okay, you already opened for her, and it's just because you walk up to her and talk to her, and then the next thing you do is open. So, all right, you're opening for her. How big was the venue? How many people would you say were there?
I really don't know. It was a decent venue, really good sound.
But it wasn't like 200 or 300 people, was it?
I really don't remember.
Okay.
It had to be at least 100, maybe.
Yeah. So how many songs was she allowed you to play to open up for?
It was an hour set, I think. Okay. So had to be 10 songs.
And you brought your band with you from Nashville?
Or did no, you... it was actually people that live in the area.
Okay. How'd you find
him? Through a guy named Johnny Bergen.
You said, I need some backup guys to come in and play for me.
Yeah.
When you do a show like that, or when I notice that you're getting ready to go out and do some dates, what's your favorite song to start out with most of the time?
Ooh, to like start the set?
Yeah. Out of the box, you walk on stage the first time and you're ready to rock.
It's always Crosscut Saw by Albert King is always the first song that I do.
Okay. So are all your songs in your set list, when you start going on these dates that you have coming up, are they all blues songs or do you mix stuff up?
It's a little rock. There's some rock in there, little country, but I'm mainly blues. But I do mix it up just a little.
And the performers that play with you, they're all friends of yours?
Well, yeah, they live in different states. Okay. One's from Chicago, and then the bass player, he's from Ohio.
Now, are they your age or older?
So the bass player, he's 12, and then the drummer's 18.
You know, I think what's cool about you is the fact that you've already discovered this is something you like, but you have another life to live, right? You got to go to school, got to finish high school. What do your friends say to you? They know what your situation is?
Not entirely. They know I play guitar.
Right.
I've played at some school events, so they know. I don't fill them in that much, or like tell them where my next gig's going to be at, because I don't know.
Well, can they come? I noticed the one that you're playing is kind of has a youth jam after the fact,
yeah,
or something like
that.
Yeah,
if it's local and if they're allowed in the venue, I'll probably invite them. But I play a lot out of town, so I don't think they're going to drive 2 hours away to go see me play.
If you could play with any blues player that's alive now, who would you want to play with?
That's tough, but I have a person. His name, you probably know, Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
I know Kenny. I don't know him personally. I know who he is, sure.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
So if he's standing there, would it be, I mean, how would you feel about that? He goes, hey, I'm Kenny Wayne. It's got to be mind-blowing for you when you walk up, because one day you will be playing with Kenny Wayne. I just almost say that one day you'll be playing with people that good. And you'll go like, okay, I can't believe this. Here you are, you're going to school. How often do you practice?
As much as I can. After school, mess around on my acoustic a lot. Whenever I'm able to.
And do you play stuff that you think you'll be able to do the band, or do you do stuff? Have you started writing songs yet?
I have, actually. I have one original song. Okay. I've got an EP out, actually. I'm giving some away at the IBCs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the song called? What's the title?
Looking Out My Window.
Oh, okay. I saw that. Is that your song?
Yeah.
Okay, because I saw on Instagram you were playing that too, and I didn't know who was by. So, have you spent much time? You probably haven't had time to really go to the studio yet, or haven't had really material yet. Is that something you want to do?
Originals?
No, any. I mean, do you want to go in the studio? I mean, write your own song and go in the studio and perform?
Yeah, I think it's something that will definitely help a lot instead of just doing covers forever.
Yeah.
I definitely think that it's a good idea, but people say that I'm ready to do it, and I just, try my hardest.
What's your ultimate guitar and amp setup and pedals you would love to have?
Like my dream setup?
Absolutely.
Ooh. Yeah.
So if I called you up and said, "Tell me what you want, I'll get it for you," what would you want?
I've already, there's the amp that I really love that I already have, but probably a Fender Strat, old probably. I don't know what year exactly, just an old Strat, a Fender Deluxe Reverb from the 60s.
Of course, yeah.
Probably for my pedals, I'm not really a pedal guy. Like, I use them if I have to. If I could choose any, man, that's kind of hard to choose a pedal.
Well, there's thousands of them out there now.
It's just, yeah.
It's just so many of them, and everybody has their own, and they all make their own and all that stuff. And what strings do you like to use? What brand?
Ernie Ball 10 gauge.
Okay. And so now, okay, you're down to your guitar and your amp, and now you got your strings. Now you're ready to go, right? Are you having fun?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It's all that matters, because you got to have fun. Because if you're not having fun playing, there's no use in playing. So tell me what your ultimate goal is with your life. I asked you about your rig. Now what do you want to do? If you want to, what would you do?
My whole journey is keep the blues alive. So that's what I want to do.
Do you study about the blues and the history of the blues?
Somewhat. I mean, not that much. I learned a little bit about it in Clarksdale. Mm-hmm. I watched a documentary about Pine Top Perkins and mm-hmm. They called it the Sidemen. It's Willie Big Eyes Smith, Hubert Sumlin, and Pine Top.
I think Hubert is still alive. I think he's
yeah.
He's friends with Eric Clapton.
I think he's still alive. Yeah.
Yeah, because Eric usually has him play on some stuff every once in a while. I've seen him play. I'm sure your friends are not in the blues.
Oh no, none of them.
So they're like, "What's blues?"
Exactly.
And then you start playing, they're like, "What are you playing that stuff for?" Right. It gets into you, brother. That's what, unfortunately, you got it. Now you got the bug. Now you'll never get rid of the bug. I hope you don't. I mean, some people, they at your age start playing and then they get older and they go, "I'm not going to play anymore." Because you go like, "I'm going to get married, I'm going to have kids, I'm going to have a job, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah, or they just want to play jazz.
Or they want to play jazz, which I don't understand jazz that much. But can you kind of see, even at your age, that this is a keeping the blues alive? But this is a journey that you can do for the rest of your life. Keep performing, get bigger and bigger, have bigger performances, hang out with Kenny Wayne, people like that. You've met some famous players already. Tell me about your trip to Gibson. What was that like?
In here in Nashville, the Gibson Garage?
Yeah. Yeah, tell me a lot.
So I was excited, but I don't necessarily get nervous that much because I liked it. I had fun with it.
So tell the people watching this don't know what it is, but tell everybody what the Gibson Garage is.
So the Gibson Garage is think of it as a Guitar Center, but it's all Gibson and Epiphone. And of course Kramer, because Gibson owns Kramer and Epiphone as well. It's there's acoustics, there's a custom shop, they're all separated, but it's the coolest place. There's a little stage there, and sometimes Marty Schwartz, like I think twice a month he does it, he'll host a jam there. And people in town can come out and play, and it's only one song, but it was really cool.
Yeah. Who cares? It's one song.
Yeah.
And you get to dance. You know, the worst part about this, Danny, is in about 10 years from now, when you're famous and everybody knows who you are, this video will be shown and you'll go, oh, God, look how young I was. I was just a kid. I was just a And then it won't matter, because by that time you'll be signing autographs and taking pictures with people, and girls want to hang out with you, and you're like, get away from me. I just want to play the blues. Yeah. So, and then you get endorsement deals. So you're doing like 3-hour gigs, I noticed.
Yeah, mostly longer. Yeah. 2 hours, 3 hours.
And how long is a set for you? 45 minutes or an hour?
A set is it depends. It transitions.
Go ahead.
Mostly an hour, I would say.
But you do have a huge opportunity in front of you, because I think you've already met some people, and I think you're going to have a great road to be able, because you keep playing like you do, brother. There are going to be people who want to hear you. You're going to be on tour with people or something. It's a little hard now because you can't go on tour, because it'll be in the summer. You'll have to do a summer tour, right? And yeah. you have to finish school. I have to tell you that. You got to finish school. I'm sure parents are going, you're not jumping out of school until you get through, right? And then you'll just keep playing. And I just have to tell you, I just really, first off, thanks for talking to me. I really appreciate it, because I think I love to see new talent. And you have a huge talent that you're just going to keep working at it and getting better and better. And the fact that you even said, I play the pentatonic scale, I would guess most people at your age don't even know what a pentatonic scale is.
Probably not.
What's your, if I come to you and I say, let's jam, what key is your favorite key to jam in?
Ooh, that's tough. I love the key of D. Like, there's something about it. I love it so much.
Okay. I just feel that you're going to be, don't disappoint me, but you're going to be a big star. Because I'll remind you. I'll tell you, remember I told you, you're going to be a big star. And if I see you later and you go, oh, I gave up guitar, I didn't want to. Don't you do that. Because I just think you've got the gift already. And the fact that you love the blues, you know, you could be the next age of people. Because when you start studying, Kenny Wayne is younger than me, but a lot of the players have moved on. I mean, if you start looking, you mentioned them. When you mention the blues players that you know and like, they're all older, or some of them are not with us anymore. Like you said, you started out with Albert King. Albert's gone, you know. B.B. King's gone. Freddie King's gone. All these people that you mentioned, Pine Top's gone. So you could be the next generation of keeping the blues alive. I love it, brother. I think it's wonderful. I think it's just a wonderful thing you're doing. And I wish you all the luck in the world, because I don't think you're going to need it. I bet you live and breathe music most of the time. Did you not hardly think about anything else besides music?
It's funny, because sometimes I'll be in class, I'll be like doing chord shapes and stuff with my fingers, like I'm doing this. People will look at me and be like, what is wrong with you?
Well,
I'll do this. They're like, they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. It's funny.
Well, they'll make fun of you because, you know, the other thing about it is they don't have the talent you do. You're on your way. I hope you enjoy the fame. Hope you enjoy the ride. Don't ever lose it, okay? Nice talking to you. Take care of yourself, young man.
Thank you.
Become famous. See ya.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Well, that's it for this episode of The Trout Show. Thanks, Danny, for sitting in and talking to me. We really appreciate it. For more information about Danny, you can visit him at his Instagram site, Instagram.com/Danny_Guitarwood. That's Instagram.com/Danny_Guitarwood. For more information about The Trout Show, visit us at thetroutshow.com. Remember, this episode is also available on YouTube, and you can find all that on our website. So you know the story, people. Thanks for coming. And remember, it's only rock and roll. But I love it. See ya.